This, I think, is the first time where actually customers need to consider their entire business process and what this integration could enable because of the reasons that we've outlined, whether those are time to market, sustainability, changing business models. I think customers really need to look at this with a different pair of eyes.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP, and with me on the podcast today, I have my special guest, Gareth. Gareth, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, Tom. I'm very pleased to be here today. So, yeah, my name's Gareth Webb. I work in the solution management team here at SAP. My direct responsibility is for all of our computer-aided design, product lifecycle management, and ERP integrations.
What does that mean?
Very, very good question. So obviously the integration that I particularly support is to join together the two domains of sort of engineering design with the sort of manufacturing, SAP supply chain, and procurement of the end-to-end life cycle of a product's life, basically.
And what kind of products are we thinking about here?
Okay, well, principally, obviously, the area of focus that we're concentrating on at the moment is the very strategic relationship that we have developed with Siemens. So Siemens is the proprietor of a product called Teamcenter, and Teamcenter is one of the preeminent product lifecycle management solutions on the market. And obviously, we formed this partnership to really drive a transformation in the industry to bring the manufacturing and engineering worlds together. And we need to do that on the basis of the ever-increasing levels of complexity in products that are out there. Cars are getting even more complicated. I think we've moved away now from mechanical complexity and we're into things like software complexity and high degrees of configuration in terms of customers' choice. And obviously, if you're going to make more complex products, you need to manufacture more complex products and you need to understand how all of these components of vehicles or whatever it may be all come together to ultimately drive out of the factory and into our hands so that we can use them. And the purpose of this integration is to enable that richness of information that comes out of the engineers' heads in terms of their creative processes into something that can be made, manufactured, and then obviously produced and supplied to us as consumers. So the integrations are a key enabler in that life cycle.
And what does, for let's say I'm a manufacturer of, I don't know, maybe it's airplanes, maybe it's cars, some bit of hardware essentially, could be computers or something, and I'm interested in this. What benefits do I get from this integration that you're talking about?
The primary benefit is obviously information flow. What's important to downstream processes is understanding and appreciating the richness of information. Sometimes it's about the actual definition of a component in terms of what constitutes its makeup, what materials it's made of, what specific alloys of materials it's made of, that information needs to flow downstream. And then other times it might be somebody needs to visually understand what a product looks like in order to be able to produce, assemble, or whatever. And the key benefit of the integration is about making sure that we get that richness of information into the hands of the right people who can make decisions at the right time to overall reduce waste in the process of getting products from idea to actually in the hands of a consumer. So that's the principal benefit, time to market, reduction of waste in the process, and obviously making sure we're not sort of double entering data and injecting human data inefficiency in that process.
Okay, so enabling, doing away with entering stuff from, clipboards to tablets to the whole information flow being kind of like a, what they call it, a digital thread. Is that the expression I'm looking for?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. And that's the principle of the integration, to maintain that continuity of the digital thread. Now, obviously, one of the big transformative things in terms of what we're working on at the moment is most people's perception of the digital thread is it's a uniform, one-directional process. Well, obviously, you know, that's not the case. And clearly what we're trying to do with this partnership with Siemens is break that kind of stereotypical flow and start to look at, well, what information can the integration support come in back upstream as well in order to make our, you know, time to market even more efficient. And that could be, you know, the availability of certain materials that may be required to produce our products, whatever it may be. It may be the availability of components within the supply chain. I mean, things like the, you know, obviously many companies at the moment are struggling to find semiconductor chips and things like that. You know, if those kinds of supply chain related problems are visible to an engineer through an integration from the kind of procurement end of the life cycle and supply chain management end of the life cycle back into the product as it's being designed, then clearly the engineer can start to make different decisions based on that information flow through that digital thread in terms of what he might choose to do in his product. He might design an alternative. He might choose to go down a different route with his design. So yeah, the digital thread is not just about flow in one direction. It's a bi-directional flow of information between these two domains, if you like.
And I mean, we're talking now about design and manufacture, but does it assist beyond the life of, well, beyond the manufacturing time of whatever it is we're manufacturing?
Yes. I mean, this is one of the big shifts that we see in many of our customers now. The concept of service lifecycle management creeping into products being manufactured. I think it was a very well-known aircraft manufacturer kind of coined the phrase power by the hour, you know, many moons ago. That kind of concept is creeping into everybody's kind of conscious product design thoughts now, whether that be, you know, electrical car manufacturers that are thinking about getting into distribution of power or, returning power to the grids and making revenue streams from those things. You need to understand how your product can support that kind of shift in business model, if you like. And therefore, you need to consider the product's whole life in its design and concept phase now. And yes, this type of technology is designed to not only aid the process of getting the vehicle or whatever it may be out into the customer's hands as quickly as possible, it's also designed to share the information about its operational life back through that set of systems, assuming that you're obviously recording what's happening in with your product in the field, whether that's using IoT capabilities or you've got some kind of continuous connectivity of your product. That information can flow right the way back into the hands of a product engineer or from the field via, you know, field-based data capturing techniques. You know, all of this information is extremely valuable into designing the next generation of products, particularly in the concept of this service-based life cycle, where the companies will make money not from selling the product anymore, by selling the service that the product provides. And that's the key thing. And you know, we're working with a number of the sort of, you know, tractor manufacturers thinking about servitization of tractors and harvesting, you know, those types of equipment through to, you know, aircraft engines and pretty much anything on that spectrum can be servitized if you've got the right capabilities and the understanding as to what it takes in a product design to achieve that. And obviously enabling that is this digital thread of information.
Okay. I presume if it was agricultural equipment, it would be powered by the flower.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what about going beyond that? So, and what I mean by that is there's a lot of talk now about, you know, enabling circular economy. Is that something that this can help with as well?
Yes. So understanding how a product is used in the field and the characteristics, you know, operational thresholds within which that product has been used is a key distinction and a determination into what can happen with that product post its life. you know, if you understood how it's being used, if it's been maintained well, you can then start to think about, well, okay, within the context of this product, what things become reusable and therefore circular? Maybe it's the housing of particular components. It just needs a new coat of paint or whatever, because it's been, you know, used within the threshold of that product. Or maybe it's some sort of component within that product that actually has been truly exhausted in terms of its usable life. But because you've understood the components and the materials that are used within that product, once it has truly reached end of life, then you can begin to decompose it into constituent parts that can then be recycled or, you know, maybe repurposed into other products. So yeah, completely understanding what's in the product down to every nut, bolt, washer, raw material, alloy of raw material, understanding how it's been used will certainly aid that whole process of the kind of circular nature of products, and this, you know, help us in terms of society, in terms of our sustainability and impact on the planet.
Fantastic. Now, Team Center has been around a while, and so have we. So, you know, people have integrated these two things before. What's different about this integration?
Well, what a fantastic question. So I think that the principal difference now is we're living in a slightly different world. You know, customers are moving away from traditional on-premise systems where they, you know, have teams of people that are responsible for managing, maintaining systems. And you know, with also the advances that have been made in and around sort of cloud security, customers are much more likely to transition their workloads to clouds, on the basis of obviously a flexible infrastructure and everything else that can support peaks and troughs of performance. So the integration is really focused on enabling those types of architecture that support both on-premise systems, cloud-based systems, and therefore we've had to fundamentally change the architecture as to how these two products communicate with each other. You know, legacy products use APIs to make distinct, discrete calls, sending across individual, you know, parts or material master information, and then they send across and process and transact bill of material information, and that all takes time. And if you start to change the fundamental architecture of solutions, where you're going from on-premise to cloud-based architectures, where you may have slightly increased latency of network, et cetera, that's going to have an impact on your overall performance of the solution and your ability to transact. So one of the principal design changes that we've made within this new integration is to change that architecture. We've gone to a much more cloud future-proof technology platform. We're using bulk APIs and large volume transaction capabilities to speed up the process of integration. But also, as we've highlighted already on today's podcast, with that increasing complexity and increase in variations of products and formulations of products, the data volume's gone up. Therefore, fundamentally, we've had to change the architecture for performance. So that, for me, is principally one of the key changes in our architecture of the new platform, but also a real emphasis around that bidirectionality of integration. You know, we're now focusing much more to enable some of these processes that we've described, you know, servitization, the whole understanding of the supply chain in terms of, you know, speed to market. That requires much more information to flow back in the other direction than has ever been undertaken before. And therefore, again, you know, that's why this integration, that real hard focus around that digital thread, the bidirectionality of that digital thread, is very different to anything that's currently on the marketplace.
Okay. Do we have any outcomes that we can point to for people?
Well, I mean, we can look at pure transaction times and things like that in terms of the performance of the product. And you know, based on some early analysis that we've done loading bulk data, we're estimating a sort of 20 to 30% more efficient process of transferring that information. But yeah, as I said, this product is launched at the back end of October in 21. Whilst we've done as much testing as we possibly can, a lot of the proof points will be when we really get customers in there, and it's at that point that the integration from our perspective becomes quite exciting, because we feel that there's a real benefit to customers out there. And you know, when we start to look at that end-to-end process as a whole, I think we can get way beyond the efficiencies of, you know, non-functional performance of an integration and into actual tangible process improvement benefits and time to market benefits that, you know, I think, you know, we really need a customer to kind of verify what that benefit's going to be. I mean, we've got some, you know, estimates around a 20% kind of efficiency saving from cradle to grave, but you know, those numbers are open to interpretation and will be, I'm sure, much greater than that based upon a complete transformation of a customer's process that we can now enable through this integration. It's an exciting time. You know, we urge customers to think outside the box now and stop considering unidirectional processes and start considering that bidirectionality in terms of time to market and how more efficient it could become.
Okay. Where to from here? I mean, you said the launch is end of October. What happens after that?
Yeah, so between the two organisations, we committed to an initial three phases of development. So phase one concludes as of the end of October, early in November. We've already got a committed roadmap for the second phase coming out in quarter two of 22, and then a final phase of this agreed period coming out in the sort of fall Q4 of 22. Beyond that, we're already looking at what the next phases of integration are. We've established six synergy areas as part of our partnership, those being visualization, service lifecycle management, configuration management, portfolio and project management, supply chain collaboration, and systems engineering. So those are the key principles within which this partnership has been established. And you know, we've got a long way to go, and obviously we're very excited about what those next steps look like, and where we can drive true transformation in our customer base. So you know, it's the step one, as I said, of a long journey and a very exciting partnership with Siemens.
Kudos getting those six out without having to look it up.
Ingrained in my memory.
We're coming towards the end of the podcast now, Gareth. Is there any question I haven't asked that you wish I had, or any topic we've not touched on that you think it's important for people to think about?
No, I think I'd just re-emphasize the fact that this integration is very different. You know, as you mentioned already, you know, integration has been around for a long time between product lifecycle management and the ERP manufacturing world. This, I think, is the first time where actually customers need to consider their entire business process and what this integration could enable, because of the reasons that we've outlined, whether those are time to market, sustainability, changing business models. I think customers really need to look at this with a different pair of eyes. So I think it's just a re-emphasis of that point, really.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Gareth, if people want to know more about yourself or about the integration or any of the topics we touched on today, where would you have me direct them?
Well, we've just launched our new SAP Team Center by Siemens webpage, and that can be found and is available through sap.com. What you'll find on that page is a way of getting in contact with us. You'll also find the latest information about the integration as and when it becomes available post-launch. And if you want to get in contact with me directly, then obviously the best way is either through my email address, which is gareth.webb@sap.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn.
Superb. And if you send me a link to that page, I'll put it in the show notes so people can have access to it.
Absolutely.
Great. Gareth, fantastic. That's been really, really interesting. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me. Much appreciated.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, Please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.